This is the EMDocs.net podcast with Britt Long and Manny Singh. We bring you high-yield content about what you're seeing every day in the ED. I'm here with Skylar Lenz, a dual-boarded emergency medicine and critical care physician in Vermont. We're going to be looking at mechanical ventilation and safely managing your next intubated patient. This is a very important topic. Unfortunately, I think many clinicians treat this as a set-it-and-forget-it type intervention. Skylar, let's start with two questions. Why is this a problem, and what should we think about?
I think we make mechanical ventilation harder than it has to be. It's important because we want to avoid harm for our patients and set appropriate ventilator settings and monitor them as best we can. The LOVE-ED trial in 2017 showed us this is possible, to use a ventilator protocol and improve our patients' outcomes. The major things here are setting an appropriate tidal volume based on your patient's ideal body weight, which is calculated by their height. You'll have to pull out the tape measure here. We also want to limit and measure the plateau pressure, set appropriate PEEP for the patient in front of us, avoid hyperoxia, and ventilate them appropriately. Some other things you might not think about are keeping the head of the bed at 30 degrees, placing an OG tube to decompress the stomach and avoid aspiration. And I would add to this targeting appropriate sedation, which is usually lighter than we think it should be.
So many great points here. Let's start with some settings and the tidal volume. What do we need to know here?
The most important setting here is appropriate tidal volume, 6 to 8 mLs per kilo of ideal body weight for most of our patients. And again, this is based on their height. How do you get that tidal volume delivered to your patient? You'll either use a volume or a pressure-targeted mode of ventilation. The way I look at this is you pick your variable. If I'm setting a tidal volume, my pressure will be variable, so I'll have to keep an eye on that peak pressure and plateau pressure. If I'm using a pressure-targeted mode of ventilation, I'll have to keep an eye on my tidal volume. That'll be variable here depending on your patient's lung condition. As far as different modes go, the most common one is assist control ventilation. And what this is the response to your patient when they take a spontaneous breath. In assist control mode, if your patient triggers a breath, the ventilator will give a whole breath back in response to that. I like assist control mode. It's easy to understand, easy to set, and most ventilators have something like this. If you're unsure of which mode you should select, I recommend setting whichever one allows you to set a tidal volume and a respiratory rate.
Honestly, most of us are going to be picking a volume controlled mode like assist control because it gives us a set volume and a respiratory rate. What about the rate? What's our target?
In adults, I'm usually targeting a respiratory rate of somewhere between 10 and 30 per minute. We have to remember that our respiratory rate affects the minute ventilation, that then affects the CO2 and the pH. A respiratory rate also affects our expiratory time. With a higher respiratory rate, there's just less time for exhalation, so we have to be careful in our patients with obstructive lung disease. They cannot tolerate a higher respiratory rate. They need longer time to exhale. We can also watch for air trapping on the ventilator itself by looking at the expiratory flow and making sure this returns to baseline each time. The other scenario I think about while setting a respiratory rate is if my patient has a severe metabolic acidosis, I have to maintain that minute ventilation by a higher respiratory rate, maybe closer to 30 per minute.
How about the positive end expiratory pressure or PEEP? I found that some clinicians have some very strong opinions on this.
Setting the PEEP depends on the patient in front of you. I would say a PEEP of 5 is good for most of our patients. But in the obese or in those with severe hypoxemia from acute lung injury or ARDS, think about that patient with bilateral infiltrates. They may benefit from higher PEEPs. I'll usually start at 8 to 10 in these patients. If my patient has severe hypoxemia, those bilateral infiltrates, developing ARDS, they may need even higher PEEP. I'll pull out the PEEP FiO2 table from the ARDSnet trial, and I'll go up slowly, maybe by 2 every 15 or 20 minutes, see how this affects my plateau pressure, see how this affects my oxygenation and my hemodynamics, and go up slowly like that in patients that need more.
I like that. 5 for most, but if they're obese or they're hypoxemic with ARDS, we'll need to start higher. How about the FiO2?
The big thing with FiO2 is weaning rapidly. If you have a pulse oximeter that's picking up a good waveform in your patient, you can rapidly turn down the FiO2. You don't need to wait for a blood gas. The big thing is avoiding hyperoxia. Your patient does not need to sat 100%. Between 94 and 98% is better and avoids the potentially harmful effects of hyperoxia.
This is a potentially big pitfall here. I found that many clinicians We'll set that FiO2 to 100% or 1.0 and then just forget about it. Let's move to something that many of us also forget but can be really important for patients. What do we need to think about with pressures? And I'm talking about the peak and the plateau pressure.
If you took my advice and used a mode of ventilation that allows you to set a tidal volume, a volume-targeted mode or volume-control mode of ventilation, you have to keep an eye on the variable. And the variable here is the pressure. The peak pressure is easily seen on the ventilator screen. I try to keep this less than 30 to 35. The peak pressure is the sum of all the pressures. It's the PEEP, it's the amount of pressure it takes to open the lungs, the alveoli, and lift the chest wall with each breath. And it also includes the airway resistance. So if there's a lot of airway resistance, the peak pressure may be higher in certain scenarios. The plateau pressure is really what we should worry about and care about. It's the amount of pressure that our lungs are feeling, and it's the amount of pressure that could damage your alveoli in certain circumstances. It's measured by an end inspiratory hold, and you can do this at the bedside or alongside your respiratory therapist. And we should be targeting less than 30 centimeters of water for the plateau pressure.
Less than 30 is a nice number to remember. If we have these patients in our ED for a while and we're going to have this issue, we're bound to have a pressure alarm. What do we need to consider with these alarms?
The alarms will inevitably go off and we'll be wondering what the problem is. How I approach this is I like to break it down into either a resistance problem or a lung compliance problem. If my peak pressure is high but my plateau pressure is normal, this suggests to me an airway resistance problem. Well, it could be I placed a small endotracheal tube for my patient with angioedema or airway swelling. In this case, I expect high resistance as the air travels through the small endotracheal tube. On the other hand, it could represent a problem like a kinked endotracheal tube, a mucus plug, or bronchospasm that I need to treat. The other scenario here is the person with high peak and high plateau pressure. This oftentimes represents a compliance problem. The pressure is building too high in the lung itself and places your patient at risk for injury. It could also represent a tension pneumothorax or worsening lung injury or worsening ARDS.
Skyler, this was some great information. How can we put this all together?
Let's start with the easiest first. The patient you intubate for airway protection, say an overdose or someone with status epilepticus. In this scenario, you can set a tidal volume of 8 mLs per kilo based on their ideal body weight, a PEEP of 5, rapidly turn down the FiO2 to target a saturation of 94 to 98%, check a blood gas in 30 minutes, say ABG or a VBG is fine to make sure that you're ventilating them appropriately. And also a plateau pressure, just as a baseline, and to make sure that you're ventilating them safely and keeping that plateau less than 30. The more challenging instance is the patient with acute lung injury or ARDS, your patient with severe hypoxemia, bilateral infiltrates, and they're hard to oxygenate. The problem here is that there are injured alveoli and not enough healthy lung tissue to place that tidal volume into. So in these patients, we'll want to start lower at 6 mLs per kilo of ideal body weight, higher PEEP, maybe starting at 8 to 10 instead of 5, and checking that plateau pressure and keeping a close eye on it. The plateau we're targeting here is, again, less than 30 if possible. If my plateau pressure is too high, I can turn my tidal volume slowly down to 4 mLs per kilo if I have to. The patient with severe obstructive lung disease, like the asthmatic, or the person with severe COPD can represent a real challenge on the ventilator. The problem here is obstruction. My patient needs time to exhale. There's high resistance due to bronchospasm. The big thing here is allowing plenty of time for exhalation. So start at a lower respiratory rate of maybe 10 to 12 a minute. Continue to watch for air trapping on the ventilator, looking at that expiratory flow and trying to ensure that returns to baseline between each breath. Sometimes you'll have to just tolerate a lower pH too. Tolerate that respiratory acidosis. The pH of 7.2 or above, I'm generally okay with, knowing that as my bronchodilators and steroids kick in, that'll all get better over time.
Skyler, great stuff. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and thanks for laying this out in an easy-to-follow approach. The big points were appropriate tidal volume with a tape measure. I like to use an app, something like MDCalc. Second, we need to focus on the plateau pressure. Remember, try to keep this less than 30 if possible. Next, avoid excess oxygen, keep the head up, and place an OG or an NG for decompression. Finally, and this is something you should have when you order your intubation meds, but sedation is absolutely essential. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.